I really appreciate your love and your hospitality to us, and particularly inviting us to your chapel, your assembly. And we are very glad and very thankful for that opportunity. So, as you know, my name is Shahbaz Masih, and my family is here. Wife Sylvia, my two boys, Samir, Felix, and my daughter Cheryl. So they are also here, and we are very privileged to be worshiping and listening to the Word of God with you guys here in this chapel. And I feel at home whenever I attend or speak in a brethren assemblies, because I belong to a brethren assemblies, and my wife is actually also from brethren assemblies in Pakistan, and we have been in the assemblies for the last 20 years, more than 25 years myself. So it has been a great privilege and honor to be at assemblies in Pakistan and now in U.S. I have 45 minutes. Brother Roy gave me 45 minutes. And first of all, we will look at the word first. And then later, last 15 minutes, we will share our presentation about how God has been working in Pakistan through us and through other brothers and sisters, and how you can pray for us, and how you can pray for our country and our ministry as well. So I was just want to tell you in the start that English is not my first language. English is my third language. So if I miss anything, I pronounce not very well, please accept my apologies. But I hope that this time we can learn from the Word of God. I would ask you, please open the Bible with me, Luke chapter 2. And I just want to read some verses from the story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, and from one verse to onward, I will read some verses. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I will read some more verses later on, but I just want to start that God has a great salvation plan. And God wanted to fulfill this plan of salvation. And even we can see that in the book of Genesis, God actually talked about his salvation plan. And there was a discussion between Satan and woman. And God was saying, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. The seed of woman is Jesus. So God is talking about Jesus Christ even in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 5. And God is giving prophecies through different prophets. And God is using actually Moses at that time, that the time is coming when he will send his son and he's going to save the world. So God has a set plan in his mind. And to fulfill his plan, he has some people to fulfill his plan. And God actually chose many people. If we start from the book of Genesis, we see that God chose Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God chose Abraham and he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to many nations, many tribes, and all people of the world. And that was a prophecy. That was a promise of God with Abraham that I am going to bless the whole world through your descendants. And Jesus was born in the tribe of Judah, and it becomes the descendant of Abraham. And we see that Jesus Christ was born, and when he was born, the salvation work was done on the cross. I like this picture. My daughter was also mentioning this picture, and she liked that picture, that our salvation plan was done on the cross. And now, well, salvation is available for everyone, everybody, wherever we are, whatever background we have, we can receive Jesus Christ and we can be blessed. And that was the promise God gave to prophet and the elder Abraham. The descendant of Abraham is our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see in the book of Galatians, through Jesus Christ, we become the descendant of Abraham also. We are not Jew. We are from Gentiles. We are from different tribes. But through Jesus Christ, we become sons and daughters of Abraham. So we can see that God has a great plan. But God wanted to fulfill his plan, and God has called many people to be part of that plan. This is very important. God is not doing anything himself. He could do that. He could use angels. He could use some other resources. But God is using people. God is using human beings like us, men and women, to fulfill his plan of salvation. And God gave actually the word to different prophets. I mentioned about Moses when he is talking about the seed of woman. He is prophesying about Jesus Christ. Then we see that God gave his word through Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, that Jesus Christ is going to be born through a virgin Mary. Not Mary is not mentioned, virgin woman. A pure young woman will give birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. And this was another prophecy which we can see is fulfilled in the New Testament. God also gave word to Isaiah that the baby will be born and he will have many titles and many names, including the name of Emmanuel, God with us. What a wonderful name. What a mighty name we have. God is with us. What a peace, what a hope we have in this name, that we are not alone, but God is with us. God also gave word to prophet Micah, and he says in chapter 5 verse 2 that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. That was a prophecy. And that prophecy was fulfilled in this passage actually, which we have just read. So we see that before Christmas time, God used different people. God used different characters to fulfill his plan. And during the time of Christmas, we also see that God is going to use wonderful people to fulfill his plan. And in his plan, especially the book of Matthew and book of Luke is mentioning so many characters, so many people who really contributed in this plan. First of all, we see that God is going to choose different people, big people, small people, educated people, illiterate people, experienced people, unexperienced people, powerful, powerless people. Even God is going to use religious, non-religious people. God is using political and non-political people. God is using Jewish people and Gentile people in his plan. God has a wonderful plan. And he gave this privilege to so many people to contribute in this plan. And the passage we have just read, it is talking about a pagan emperor. A pagan emperor, Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus was very powerful emperor at that time. And he has done so many reformation in the Roman Empire. He has conquered so many areas and he was very powerful. And one day, a thought came in his mind that I will conduct a census. And that census means counting people. How many people we have in our country? How many people are Roman citizens? How many people are Jew? And his intention maybe was to counting the coins and increase the treasures. That was maybe his intention. And it seems that this gentleman is very powerful. He is controlling the lives of people. Because everybody needs to come to his hometown to register their name. And many people were maybe sick, many people were poor, they could not have any transportation. But they have to follow the decree, the command of emperor. Otherwise, it must be very difficult for them. So everybody has to come to the native town of their ancestors and register their name. So it seems that this emperor is very powerful. It seems that he is controlling the lives of people. He is controlling the events of the history. He's powerful. But I just want to bring your attention to that reality that he is not controlling. God is controlling this situation. God has put in his mind to conduct a census. God is going to fulfill his word. God is going to fulfill his prophecy by Micah chapter 5 verse 2 that Jesus needs to be born in Bethlehem. And during that time, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, the father, legal father of Jesus Christ, they were not living in Bethlehem. They were in Nazareth. And they have to come, maybe travel 80 miles to come to that place to register their name. If everything is smooth, there is no command, they would never come to that place because they were not in that situation. Mary was pregnant and she was about to give a birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. They could never do that travel if emperor was not giving this decree that you have to come to the native town of Bethlehem and register their name. So God is controlling everything. God is actually using this emperor. God is using this all scenario to fulfill his word. Isn't it amazing that God is controlling, not the emperor, not the king, not the powerful political figure. God is doing amazing thing, as actually God is using him to bring the fulfillment of his word. And that's why it says in verse 4, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. So Joseph and Mary had to come to that place, and God is going to fulfill his word. God's word is so powerful. God's prophecies given by different prophets are so powerful. And God is so serious to fulfilling the word of God, to his word. So many times we forget things, forget the word of God, but God is remembering everything. God is remembering every detail, even small detail. And everything was fulfilled in the New Testament, which was taught about different prophets in the Old Testament. So we can see that God is using even the Gentile people. And God has used actually Gentile people in the past also. Many times, God has used these pagan kings and kingdom to punish his own people. Kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Israel, they were defeated by the pagan kings. God is going to use them. And in Proverbs, God says, the heart of king in God's hand. God is so powerful. Many times we see many people are controlling the word. It seems that they are controlling. They are not fulfilling God's promises. They are not obeying God. But I just want to make sure, my dear brother and sister, God is watching them. God is looking at them. And God knows what they are doing. And he has appointed time when he is going to judge these kind of people. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. What is happening in the world? God is aware of that. And God is watching all these things. We also see that God chose this particular time. When Caesar was the governor, Caesar was the emperor. And when we see in the Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that there was a particular time, and God sent his son, who was born from a woman, on his appointed time. God has an appointed time in his mind, and he has appointed time for everything. And this was the right time why God chose to send Jesus Christ during that time. There are some details about that. It was a time of trade, and people were moving from one place to another place. There was a system of transportation during the Roman Empire. I'm talking about the Roman Empire. Why God chose Jesus to be born during that time when the Roman Empire was ruling? because God was going to do amazing thing to the Roman Empire. There was a time of trade and people were moving. It was very easy to move from one place to another place. There was a good system of transportation, particularly the roads and the ship system were very excellent. There was a peace time. There was no any war at that time. Greek was the language which became the international language. And Roman laws were there which protected the people and gave freedom to everybody. So God used all these circumstances of Roman Empire to establish his kingdom, to spread the word of God. And later on we see in the book of Acts that how God used Paul and his companion to use the Roman laws, to Roman facility to establish, to spread the word of God. So that was appointed time when God sent our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. So maybe Lord has appointed time for you as well. This is not accident that you are here. You are part of this church. You are citizen of this church. You are living in a certain circumstances. God has a plan for you. And God has appointed time when he is going to do amazing things. 1 Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. God has appointed time for everything. So my dear brother and sisters, God is controlling everything. He's so powerful. He is king. He is kings of kings and lord of lords. We also see that God is using some ordinary people. And it says in verse 8, there were some shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watching our flocks at night. So we are going to talk a little bit about these shepherds. These shepherds were considered to be a small, dirty people, lower caste. Their clothes and body smelled bad. They were social and religious outcasts. Nobody will care about them. Even they were not welcome in the prayer meetings very well. They were not considered as a witness in the court. They did not have any respect in the society they were living. They were neglected and ignored, disrespected people of that time. Who would care about these people? God is going to care about these people. God is going to give them amazing, amazing grace. And this is a grace which you don't deserve, but you get the whole. God is going to choose these shepherds to give them the first news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that how our God's heart is? Our God's heart is open for everybody. He does not care. People are rich. People are high class or lower class. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is the love of God. This is the grace of God that these people were chosen. And I remember that God also chose like person, poor person like me. I belong to a very poor family in Pakistan. God chose me and my family to be his witness, to be his servants. And I feel this is a great privilege for all of us that we are serving the Lord. And I tell my sons, my boys, that we need to be very thankful that God has chosen our family to be his witness and his servant. When I see this word, forgiven, chosen, redeemed, righteousness, my heart is fulfilled with joy I never deserve all these privilege, all these titles, all these roles in my life. But this is the grace of God, that His grace is available for all people, people like shepherds. And we see that the angel of God came to them and gave them wonderful, wonderful good news that Jesus Christ is born. And tell them that go and see. This is wonderful news. We see here that the angel of God appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you a good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." It's a wonderful, powerful message given to these people. They don't deserve that the angel will come to them. They don't deserve that we are such holy people. But God don't care about that. He sent His angel to these people to give them the first news of our Lord Jesus Christ's birth. And they were very much privileged. We see that the titles given to Jesus Christ in this message, that He is a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior in this world. He saved me when I was confused, when I was not able to come to Christ. Because I thought I'm fine, I'm a good person. I just want to share my story a little bit. I was born in a small village, and we did not have any church, any school in our village. I went to a mosque actually, where I start to read and write. That is my first school. And during that time, I was listening to the teaching of the leader of the mosque that you don't need any sacrifice. If you are doing good work, you will be saved and you will get salvation. And that, even I was very small at that time, but still I remember that word. And later when I went to church, we shifted into the city, start going to a church, listen the word of God, preaching. You are a sinner. You need to come to Christ. I thought, I don't need Jesus because I'm fine. I do a lot of good work. And that kind of understanding took me away from Lord Jesus Christ so many years. Until I was invited by a brethren elder in my church who invited me for a Bible study, 4-month Bible study. And I took that Bible study. God changed my heart. God gave me this realization that I am a sinner. I need to come to Christ. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I thank God for this wonderful Bible study, which was done. And that changed my heart. So I focus on Bible studies. Very, very important. We need to do a lot of Bible studies in our churches, in our assemblies. So thank God that I received Jesus Christ. God opened my eyes. God opened my heart through His Holy Spirit. God changed my heart. He is the Savior. And then He is Christ. He is the Messiah. My full name is Shabbaz Masih. So my second name is Masih. Masih is Messiah. So in Urdu language, in Persian language, Masih means Messiah. I'm not Messiah myself. I'm a follower of Messiah. So this is my identity. This is my representation to the world that I am follower of Messiah. I am representative of Christ. And many times it's very dangerous and risky. People will know that this person is Christian and they will persecute you. I come from a country like Pakistan where a lot of persecution is ongoing on a daily basis. Discrimination. But I don't care. Thank God that God gave me this boldness that I will still use this name, because this name opens many opportunities. And I have seen in my life that so many people, when they come to know that this person is a Christian, they would come to me and ask some question about Christ, about salvation. It's risky, but it's more opportunity oriented. And God has used this name, Messiah, follower of Messiah. Whatever name you have, my dear brother and sister, it doesn't matter. But just want to tell you that you are representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are follower of Messiah. And wherever you are His ambassador. Share about Jesus Christ. Share about Him. And Christmas, the time, actually sharing the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. The third title used here is Lord. He is powerful. He is owner of all the universe. Many times we receive Jesus as a Savior, as a Christ, Messiah, but we won't receive Him as Lord, controller of our life. He is controller of life. Many times, many things are controlling our life. Many changes are controlling. But Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is your Lord. So this was a powerful message given to these shepherds. Ordinary people, uneducated, filthy people. And they were very much privileged. But they had lot of options to choose. Accept this message or reject this message. They could have given so many excuses that we are going, okay, thank you, Lord, for sending your angel, giving us this good news, but we are not going to see Jesus because we have responsibility. We are taking care of sheep. They could have given so many excuses. And their excuses were genuine. But they had to choose what is their priority. Who is superior to them? Who is important to them? And they chose Jesus Christ is more important to them than other things. Many things are important to us, my dear brother and sisters. I just want to share and encourage you. Jesus is the most important to me and you. What would you choose? Many times we are giving Jesus the second class, the second priority, the second importance. But He deserved the first and the best. And I think Christmas is a great time to give Him the best. Give Him the first. He deserved to be given first priority. And I think that is a wonderful thing. The other thing was, in their mind, the shepherd, they got faith increased in their heart. If Lord is saying go, He will take care of our possessions as well. God is good guide. God is good protector. And we see in the Bible that God is my shepherd. I will not have anything lack. So they went actually. They decided to choose Jesus Christ. That was the unique opportunity. And they overcome all the excuses. And they went to see Jesus Christ. That was their wonderful and precious option. And we see that they visited Jesus Christ and they worshipped Him. And they see Jesus is in the manger, wrapped in the cloth. What a beautiful scene that would be, that they are the first visitor, they are the first worshipper of our Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, they did a miraculous, a wonderful job. They did not kept this truth in their life that we have seen Jesus, we have experienced Jesus. But they start actually professing, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is born. He is Messiah. He is Savior. He is Lord. This is my guess that they would be professing this message which was given by the angel. And that was a powerful, a complete message. Here also they could have given more excuses. We are not trained. We are not seminarian. We don't have a PhD. We don't have Master of Divinity. So we cannot do that. I don't say that this training is bad. No, this is wonderful training. And throughout my life, God has given me different kind of training, and I have been training so many other people. But if you are not able to attend a seminary, it's okay. The salvation is very simple. Salvation message is very simple. And whatever you have learned, just to share with others. And I think they became the first missionary. They became the first evangelist. And they were sharing the gospel here and there. Even the night time, in the night time, they were asking people, Jesus is born, He is Savior, He is Lord, He is Messiah. What a wonderful message they have given. My Lord is so gracious that He chooses different kind of people and use them. And my dear brother and sisters, He has a plan for you also. Whatever capacity you have, whatever talent you have, whatever background you have, whatever social status you have, whatever financial status you have, what kind of training you have, it doesn't matter. He's going to use them all and glorify His name. God uses different people, and they were privileged to contribute in the salvation plan of God. God invites us also to be part of that. Would you like to be part of that? This is my application for you and for all of us. God bless you. Amen. We just have 5 minutes, so we will see some slides. And I will explain these slides to you, how God is working through different ways. Can I use this mic? Because I need to see that. Yeah. Okay. Yes, please keep going. This is Pakistan flag. And this is the country map where we are. We serve as missionary close to the Afghanistan border. It doesn't show here. But now we are living close to Islamabad, the capital. Yes, please. Yeah, this is our family picture, a little older one. But now our children are grown up. Yes, please go. This is our assembly back in Pakistan. And I serve in this assembly for a long time. And you can see that a lot of people, we are sitting on floor. We don't have table and desk, you know, sitting arrangement is different. But thank God this church is growing. We have over 400 people in our church. Praise the Lord for that. Yes. We are involved also to train missionaries. And the women, actually, they are wonderful people to be trained. because half of the population of our country is women, female. So that's why we think that we need to train them to reach these women, which is mostly predominantly Muslim women. Yes. Yes, please. Our women evangelists, you know, students, they are evangelizing people with distributing this literature. Yes, please. Yes, my wife is on that side. She's also covering all. Oh, yes. But she works among Muslim people. And when she go, actually, she has to wear the same dress, you know, to reach them. Yes. Yes, please. This is terrible life, actually, for women, actually, in the area where she lived, actually, very close to the Afghanistan border. They have to cover the whole body, and it's really tough for them. Yes. Yeah, this is my wife. She is training people, and especially speaking to young people how they can serve the Lord on different capacities. Yeah. Both of us also conduct different seminars and conferences to train young people. Yeah. Yes, please. Keep going. We have time is very short. Yeah, my wife is also training other ladies for mission work. And thank God for that. We also focus on youth, actually, because they also have a lot of pressure by the Muslim people when they are studying in a college, university, and they try to convert them and actually to Islam. So we wanted to give them a strong foundation of biblical faith, you know. Yes, please. Yes, school, colleges, and university students, they are under training. We conduct also youth conferences in Pakistan to encourage and train our young people. Yes, we see a lot of great revival, actually, in spite of difficulties and suffering and persecution. God is still growing His church in Pakistan. Yes, yes, revival meetings, and you can see a lot of young people. They are holding the New Testament in their hands, and they are saying that we are going to give this New Testament to other people living around them. You know, Muslim people. So that is wonderful enthusiasm in the youth. Yes, please. We also have a radio ministry for Muslim people, where my wife and I speak in Punjabi language. Punjabi is our mother tongue. And we speak we present this radio program, which is a blessing for so many Punjabi speaking people. Yes, please keep going. Yeah. So these are different missionaries, and yeah. I just wanted to, my wife is also studying, actually. This is a picture here at Trinity. So she has a special heart for Muslim women, to train a woman, Christian woman, to train other people to reach to Muslim women. So she is studying in the Trinity now. And this is a picture taken in that time. Yeah, these are different missionary evangelists in training. Yes, keep going. We shared this Bible with this gentleman, and he's saying that I have been searching this Bible for 7 years, and he was so excited to take this Bible, and he started reading immediately. Yes, please. We also have evening classes for lay people in our small Bible school, where we trained these people also. Yes, we keep going. We have a lot of untrained pastors, so we want to train them also in the Bible school setting. Yeah, missional family camps, where we want to strengthen the families, because they have a lot of pressure from Muslims, you know, wherever they are living, wherever they are studying, they are working. A lot of pressure is for the families, so needs to be trained and strengthened with the word of God. Yes. Yeah, they are also affirming that we are going to give this New Testament to our friends in the in the college, university, in school, and wherever we are working. Yeah, God has given me this privilege to train many pastors and evangelists in the remote area, different in mountains on the remote area of Pakistan. Yes, praise God. I also speak on different city conferences, leaders and pastors. So God has been given this privilege to train so many people in the country. And we want to continue this ministry, actually, to train indigenous missionaries in Pakistan. We had a lot of missionaries overseas, but after 9/11, they left. They did not come back to country. So now is the time God gave this realization that we need to train our own indigenous missionary to reach out throughout our country. Yeah, God's providing so many opportunity to make friendship with Muslim scholars, Muslim people, and give them a salvation message. And some even were baptized, you know. Yes. Oh, yes. These are different disciples, you know, whom I am helping with the word of God, spending time in Bible studies, you know. Yes, yes, please. Continue, please. We also started a new program, Diploma in Missions and Evangelism, to train indigenous missionaries, local missionaries in Pakistan. So that is very fruitful, you know. Yes. So God also gave this new ministry, intellectual people, you know, reaching out to intellectual people in Pakistan. And we have been doing some work, you know, in leaders of the mosques, leaders of Muslim seminaries. But this is the area where we are actually focusing now, doing some more studies. And that is our plan to continue going back to serve the Lord in intellectual people in Pakistan. Yes. You can see that how eager people are when I'm just reading from the word of God. They are listening, you know. All people are not bad. You know, there are really thirsty and hungry people. So many, hundreds and thousands. And they receive the word of God with love and respect, you know. So God is using this our Bible school and Islamic University, actually. So we are in good relationship, and this is the actually area which God showed me and showed our family that this should be strengthened in the future as well. Yeah, this is our library, and different scholars are visiting our library and asking questions. And that is the time when we give genuine love to them and give them the Bible message. And they ask, actually, this gentleman, he is the head of department comparative religion studies in Islamic International University in Islamabad. And he requested that we want to bring Muslim students to use your library. Is it amazing that God is opening the hearts, God is opening the opportunities that Muslim scholars, they are using our Christian library, and he has asked that we want to buy some Bibles, and we have sold 500 Bibles in Arabic and English with a small amount of money because we did not want to give them free of cost to give them impression that we are converting them. No. So God is doing amazing thing, you know, through this intellectual ministry. Yes, please. We have outreach experiences. Yeah. Please keep going. Yeah, our students, our missionaries are talking to people, sitting with them, eating with them. This gentleman with the cap, you know, he is my student. He came from Muslim background. He's Afghan person. He speaks Afghani, and he is now outreaching Afghani people. We have a lot of Afghani people in Pakistan. Yeah, these are different families, and we also have some Hindu outreach ministry. We are part of that also. We also train some Chinese, you know. because we have a lot of Chinese in Pakistan. And this group actually came to our school and they asked that we want to get trained because we have a lot of Muslim people in China. We want to reach to them. So we trained them in Pakistan. Yes, please. We also know that there are so many challenges also. Suffering and persecution is a part of our life. And a lot of bad stuff is ongoing, you know. Recently, you know, there was an attack on 16th of August where they burnt 26 churches in Pakistan. And the houses of 150 poor Christian families, they were also burned. And there are so many incidents that the bomb was blew and so many people were killed in the church. This is the picture in Peshawar where we live and serve as a missionary, and over 100 people were killed in a bomb blast in the church. During that time, God put in my heart to design a course, a theology of suffering and persecution, how to train our people who are facing suffering and encourage them with the biblical teaching. So I teach this course, theology of suffering and persecution. That is a very powerful course. Yes, please. This is one of my class. And people are having their stories written on the paper because I asked them write your own experience of persecution. And they wrote their persecution experiences, and at the end of the class, I prayerfully asked them to just take this paper into your hand and just forgive your persecutors who have persecuted you. And that was a wonderful time of reconciliation or a forgiving experience when almost all of our students, you know, they took that paper in their hand and they said, Lord, I forgive this person who has persecuted me. There was some couple of women who also said, Lord, I want to forgive the rapist who has raped me in the name of Jesus. Isn't it powerful that how God is changing the heart despite of all that experiences. Yes. God has helped me to write this book also, Suffering for Christ, which is available. I brought some copies, but it's also available in English. So if you are interested, you can talk to Brother Ray about that. So God is also using this book to help Pakistani church. Now we are translating into other languages also. So our national language is Urdu. So we are translating this book in Urdu that it will be beneficial to all of our brother and sister in Pakistan. So we'd say that suffer but not abundance. God is controlling. And still there are a lot of people, despite of all these difficulties, they are willing to serve the Lord and give their lives for the Lord. And this is so amazing, so wonderful that God is doing amazing things. So this is our target by the grace of God. It's a big target. It's a difficult target to reaching out intellectual leaders in Pakistan who are actually doing lot of stuff in madrasas, in Islamic universities. And there are so many Islamic universities in Pakistan, madrasas in Pakistan. And we don't have a single guy who has a PhD to reach out to these guys. So this was the target. This was the vision God gave to me and my family, that we will focus to that direction where nobody has gone to that direction so far. So we had a lot of roles and responsibility, but we listened to the word of God, listened to the voice of God, and we decided that we will go and do our studies and come back to serve these wonderful people. So this is, you can see that my wife and I both are student at Trinity, the next picture. Yeah, and she is doing Doctor of Ministry, I'm doing PhD. And this is our target, that we will go back to serve the Lord among these wonderful people. And while we are here, the other slide, please, we are trying to reach Muslim people also here. And this is an imam of a mosque, actually. So we also met with him and try to help Pakistani leaders here. We have two different churches, you know. We are Pakistani Christian brother and sister. They are worshiping. Time to time, we go there and train them, encourage them that they can be a great evangelist reaching to Muslim people in Chicago area, because we have a lot of freedom here, which we don't have in our country. So please keep praying for us, for my wife, and for myself. I just want to share with you that when we came here, we did not have anything, you know. We had only little money, but we just stepped by the faith that God will provide. And God is good that we survive this year, in the last year. And we don't know what will happen tomorrow, but we are still trusting in the Lord that He will provide. Please continue to pray and support if you can. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for just the message of your plan, and that you use all people. You use us. Help us to just be willing and available to serve you, Father, and to share the gospel. Lord, we pray for Shabazz and Sylvia and Felix and Shamir and Cheryl. I pray for them, Lord. Pray for their studies. Pray for the kids as they start new schools and new environments, new culture. I pray, Father, that you would just protect them, give them peace. Pray for the studies, Lord, at Trinity. Just thank you for this family that wants to serve you. We pray for the assembly back in Pakistan. Be with the leaders there. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your love. We pray this in Jesus' name.